Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome to Time Forward, KE Report. It used to be KER Politics. We are going to be talking about politics in the second hour. Going to focus on what's going on in primarily, you know, on the Beltway and what's going on down on the border. Got some interesting stories about the border for you, firsthand experience. But in the first segment of the show, we're going to be talking with Stephen Leeb, P-H-E-N, there we go, Stephen Leeb, who is one of my favorite analysts and one of my favorite money managers. By the way, Stephen is an author of renown, has written numerous books, one of which I made reference to on the website this past week. It's called China's Rise and the New Age of Gold. I would highly recommend that you take a look at this book. If nothing else, pick it up on Kindle. It's an interesting book. I have it in my private library. Stephen, I have a question for you. The gold market right now is relatively strong. I just checked it again here about 5 minutes ago before we started. The silver market is in a bit of a decline right now. I personally, given my rationale for investing in precious metals, don't see why the silver market isn't following the gold market. Any comments, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of ridiculous in a way. I mean, you're not talking meaningful declines, but it's just illustrative of what you're seeing over and over again. And I don't know why I'm so conscious of it this time around. Well, I think this is the big one. This is the one that they have to control, and they won't be able to, in my opinion. Silver market is going contrary to copper, which is up about 8 cents, and it's going contrary to gold, and it's going contrary to the dollar, which is down, which should push silver up. But they're going to have a problem. I mean, and the problem that they're going to have with all these markets revolving around commodities is that there is, in addition to the increasing demand for commodities, which comes from, again, the developing world, which is going to need tremendous amounts of commodities, infrastructure, yep, et cetera. We're even trying to build infrastructure. I mean, why should we be building infrastructure in America? After all, we have very good wooden pipes. So what, they were built in the end of the 19th century, don't right. they work? Do we really need to replace them? No, I'm being sarcastic.
Of course you are.
I mean, this country has let everything go. But so if we're trying to catch up with about a $3 trillion infrastructure bill. But, you know, guess what? We don't have the commodities either to build the infrastructure. Now, a couple of data points that we've seen the past week or so, Al, which I think are very, very important, and they come from South America, from Chile and from Brazil. Brazil and Chile are both now in lockdowns, especially Brazil. But I was actually shocked to find that Santiago, which is, I think, the capital of Chile, is in lockdown. Now, why should this affect anything? Well, it affects things because these are centers for a number of commodities. Brazil for food, and Chile for just about everything else, from lithium to copper to who knows what else.
Right.
Mexico, I think they're doing, you know, fairly well, and maybe that's why silver is down a little bit. I mean, I don't like to believe in conspiracies because it just doesn't do any good. You just drive yourself nuts. So I'll just accept the fact that Mexico is okay. But when it comes to copper, when it comes to base metals, we have problems. We have problems because what we're doing in this country right now is we are dramatically increasing demand. We are literally putting money in people's pockets. And they're all dressed up and are going to have very few places to go because there is not abundant food supplies out there. I mean, you have I watch a raw food index, and it's had a remarkable run. I mean, it's up, I don't know, 20-30% in the past 12 months. I mean, you don't see that kind of thing. And raw industrials are also up. Now, some of that, again, due to demand and due to the fact that countries that can afford it are hoarding this stuff right now. I mean, because it's just not, you know, going to be available in the context of literally 85% of this world growing rapidly and everybody trying to switch or trying to change energy sources from, you know, fossil fuels to so-called clean, and now hydrogen is a very big source of energy, and it's going to be a mess. And it's going to be a very big mess, I think, in this country, unless we, you know, really get things going and, I mean, do things that we haven't done before, which includes cooperating with others and doing it full tilt. No, look, I'm no friend of the Chinese Communist Party. I can't stand them. I mean, I hate that kind of government. I don't want anyone to have any doubt about where I stand. I mean, I hate that kind of government. And I grew up in this country, as I've said before, during, you know, part of the period in which it was the greatest country that ever lived. But we've got to get back to those days. We've got to get back to, you know, a period in which, you know, you don't have corporations like Facebook, et cetera, just controlling things and doing things that they should not be doing. But it's going to catch up with us. And no matter, there are some, one time, I think an insight that I had, I don't know, 20 years ago, that there are some problems that money can solve. Most problems out there can be solved by money. But every once in a while, you come across a problem that cannot be solved by money. And when that happens, that can be a real major threat. And I think up to this point in a life of, 40, 50 years in this industry, I can't even count the number of years, virtually every problem we have come across, including what we saw in 2008-09, could be solved very easily by money.
Yep.
And we did it. And we have remained basically the world's major power in, you know, many respects. We have a problem today, and I just, you know, talked about evidence of that problem, which is disease, whatever people want to say about it. You can't deny the fact that Brazil and Santiago are under, you know, lockdown, and that economic activity in Chile especially, and Chile especially, because they're very, very important in different ways. It doesn't matter. You could take helicopters of $1,000 bills, or they don't make $1,000 bills, $100 bills, and drop them. You're not going to get the copper. You're not going to get the amount of food that you need. This is a problem that cannot be solved by money, and we're not equipped, in my opinion, to really adjust that quickly. I think that what you're seeing, when you say gold, yes, it is catching a bid today. There's no doubt about it. But I honestly think, Al, when we look forward over the next 10 to 20 years, you're probably going to see gold many, many multiples of what it is today, because it's not that the dollar is going to disappear. It won't, but it cannot remain the reserve currency. That only works when you have problems that money can solve. But when you're talking about climate change, and, you know, I've been very skeptical of climate change in the past, but I'm not so much. I mean, I am skeptical in the fact that they...
Stephen, I got to stop you just for a second. We got to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Going to get back to this subject here in about 30 to 40 seconds, right after the break. Stick around. Dr. Lieb has some excellent, excellent points to make in terms of investing in commodities. We'll be right back.